Praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house again tonight. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in God's house tonight. It was another beautiful day, spring day that God gave to us. And to top it all off, my wife got to go to Cabela's today. And I know that was a highlight for her. But it's good to be here this evening. You know, in preparation for meetings like these, you know, I pray and do some fasting. And, you know, God, where do you want us to go? Where do you want to take us? What is it that you want me to preach about? And sometimes they're messages that I preached before. Sometimes they're not messages that I've preached before at meetings like these. And so today, yesterday I kind of felt like I had some direction for tonight. And then today, just in the course of the day, kind of felt like God was just maybe leading in a different direction. And then, as we were praying downstairs, you know, the Holy Spirit is alive and well. And we were talking about that at dinner tonight, how someone over here in the States can be woke up in the middle of the night, at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they can have a burden for someone that's in another part of the world. That's the Holy Spirit. And when we pray, and what happened tonight is while we were praying, a couple of the brothers said a word that just happened to be kind of like one of the messages that I was thinking about preaching tonight. And then I think as we came in here, there was something that was said again, just that went right along the lines of the one of the messages. And so, again, I want to maybe go in a bit of a different direction than I had originally anticipated. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And I want to say, I know that there aren't as many young people here tonight as there have been, but looking forward to tomorrow night and just looking forward to speaking to the young people. I'm not exactly for sure what's planned after the service, but just being a part of that. But Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. It says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Look again at verse 13 and verse 14. Again, this is what he says. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. Amen. With the Lord's help tonight, I'd like to preach to you a message entitled "Dealing with Distractions." Dealing with distractions. Now, we know that this journey that we are on in this world is filled with distractions. And we know that this race that Paul alludes to here, this race that we know as life is filled with distractions, isn't it? There are all these things pulling us this way and all of these things pulling us that way. There are all of these pressures that are trying to move us and trying to draw us and influence us in all different directions. All of these things, it seems like from the time that we get up until the time that we lie down at night, all of these things fighting for our attention. And we face these distractions that come to us in all different shapes and in all different sizes. And it seems like they come against us from many different directions and at many different times. And you know what I'm talking about, right? These distractions. You start out doing something and then what happens? You get distracted, right? And we could think of maybe some simple illustrations that would communicate this truth or this reality. How many times have you been to Walmart and you had in mind when you got to Walmart that you were going to buy a specific item? As a matter of fact, that was the reason why you went to Walmart. And let me just say this. I was talking to Joshua today and he said they don't go to Walmart very much. I said, can you even be a Christian and not go to Walmart? But you go into Walmart, and I don't know, maybe it's shavers, maybe it's shaving cream, maybe it's this or it's that. And you know what happens when you get in there sometimes? You see all this other stuff, right? The stuff that's on sale or, oh, you know, I think I could use that. And if you ever got to the place where you were so distracted that you left without getting what you ultimately came for, right? Distraction. Or, you know, you have those situations where you're at home and maybe, you know, there's something out in the shop, there's something out in the garage that you need and you know, you kind of head out in that direction and then you get out there and if you're like me, sometimes I'm like, now, what was it I came out here for? See, you're laughing and you're nodding because it happens to you too, right? We get distracted. You know, some people have wrecks while driving because they get distracted. And I'm an outdoorsman and I like to watch the fields and I like to look out at the scenery and all of that stuff. I like to watch for wildlife and deer and I driving through Pennsylvania, I like to look at the mountains. There are all these different things that draw my attention. And sometimes that's dangerous. There's a young man in our community, a young man used to go to our church, and it seemed like almost every time I would see that young man driving through town, instead of him doing like this, he was doing like this. He was texting while he was driving. Well, I remember it was several months later that I saw some flashing lights in town. And as I approached those flashing lights, I thought to myself, hey, that looks like so-and-so's car. And so-and-so had just rear-ended someone else. And I texted him, I think, the next day, or maybe I called him, maybe I talked to him. I don't quite remember. But I asked him, I said, what happened? He said, I just looked down at my phone. Distractions. I'm from Missouri. We lived near St. Louis, a pretty good-sized city, and I lived in Illinois at some point in time and had to drive through St. Louis to get to the place that I worked. And one of the things that I love about the country is very little traffic. One of the things I didn't like about the city was a lot of traffic. And I remember those times that I would be on my way to work and there'd be this traffic jam, and sometimes, depending on the topography, you could look ahead and it seemed like for miles it was bumper-to-bumper traffic. And sometimes, you know, I'd be sitting there in traffic and I'd be thinking, boy, this must be a serious wreck. This must be a deadly wreck. There might be some people injured. There might be some people that have been killed. And sometimes it was that way. You'd get up there, there'd be a car that was flipped over, or there were ambulances, maybe there were helicopters hauling away the sick and the injured. And yet what happened sometimes is when I would get up to where the wreck was, all it was were two people sitting on the shoulder, and they just had a fender bender. And the reason why we had the traffic jam was because all the people that were driving down that highway had to stop, slow down, and take a look. They got distracted. Then there's the smartphone. One of the things I always like to say about smartphones is people do dumb things with smartphones. Right? People do dumb things with smartphones. There are these distractions, again, like the young man that was texting while he was driving. And then there's all the social media that's out there. We kind of were joking about it today, how some people like to send a text of what they're eating today and what's on the grill and what was for dessert and all of that stuff. Their new dress or their new shirt or their new hairdo. Or sometimes it's like, you know, we have these distant friends that we haven't seen for maybe a long time, and you know, it's kind of funny, and I because it seems like it's pretty common, you know, we're friends with these people on social media that we haven't talked to, haven't seen in 30 years. And yet we want to be, for some reason, aware of what they did today. Right? This young lady that I went to school with, kindergarten actually, this is a 50-year-old person. They went to the zoo today and they took their grandchild, and the grandchild got bit by a goat and he lost his fingernail, and they had to go to the doctor to get it fixed, to get him patched up. I'm talking about distractions, right? We all face distractions in life. Life is filled with them. And many of these distractions, like these ones that I have just spoken about, many of these distractions involve the simple. Many of these distractions involve the insignificant. Many of these distractions that we face involve things that will have no impact on eternity. Rest assured, your knowledge of your friend's grandson's fingernail will not impact where you spend eternity. But be reminded that many of the distractions that you and I face do. They do. And when it comes to those things, when it comes to those things that really matter, those things that affect my relationship with God, those things that affect the way that I serve God, those things that affect ultimately where I am going to spend forever, it is in those things that I cannot afford to be distracted. I don't want to get distracted. Now, in our text this evening, I want us to notice the Apostle Paul's resolve, his desire, his commitment, his dedication, and his determination. Look again at what he says in regard to this race in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus. He was focused, brothers and sisters, on the race. Amen? He was focused on the race. And then I want us to draw our attention to two words there in verse number 13. And those two words are this: one thing. One thing. One thing. If we were to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 10, we would read of Jesus at Bethany. It says there in verse number 38 that, now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, my sister has a problem. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Let me just stop and I want to say something. Now, when I think of the story, when we read the story, when we consider the story, when we take into account the context of what was happening here, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's Martha. She's doing all of this work. And Martha kind of gets aggravated at the situation, right? I'm doing all this work. I'm sweating. I'm, you know, getting food around. I'm getting things cleaned up and so on and so forth. And so she comes to Jesus and she begins to complain about her sister, right? She thinks her sister is the problem. And you know, how many times is it like that in life? Where maybe we have a confrontation. Maybe we have some conflict. Maybe we have some disagreement. And perhaps at times, we are quick to come to the Lord and say, well, I don't know that we directly say it. We just kind of, you know how it is, we kind of beat around the bush. Lord, would you fix them? They're the problem here. Right? Lord, if you would just do something in their heart, we could get along. Everything would be great. It's kind of what was happening here. But look at what Jesus says. He kind of turns the table and he says, you know what, Martha, Mary's not the problem. You're the problem. And so I just want to say that many times, again, when we're expecting God to change the other person because we think that is going to fix the problem, how many times is it that in reality, God wants to fix us? Because that's what was happening here. It says there, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But again, they're in verse number 42, those two words. But one thing is needful, he says. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing. Again, she was working, she was laboring, she was, as it says in the text, that she was cumbered about with much serving, she was getting things done, she was accomplishing things and stuff, but notice again what the Lord says to her there. He said, but one thing is needful. You see, Martha was doing a lot of things, but Martha was not doing the one thing that really mattered. And that's how it is so many times in our life. All this stuff. And the one thing that really matters gets neglected. You see, what her problem is and what our problem often is that we get distracted. Don't we? The writer of Ecclesiastes, he talked about his servants. He talked about the things that he had built. He talked about the trees that he had planted. He talked about the pools of waters that he had made. He talked about his livestock. He boasted about his wealth and his prosperity. He says there in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there is no profit under the sun. Brothers and sisters, those are the words of a man that realized that he had missed that one thing. Those are the words of a man who had become distracted. And I want to ask you tonight, what is that one thing for you What is that thing that matters most? What is it that consumes you? What is it that drives you? What is it that motivates you? What or who is it that has your heart? If it isn't God, if it isn't Jesus, I want to tell you, if it isn't that which is eternal, it is the wrong thing. You've been distracted, just like this man. You know, there are so many people that have started out running this race. Many have started on this Christian journey, this Christian race, and they've given up. For some reason or another, they've fallen to the wayside. Many people have started out on this race, but they lost sight of that one thing that really, really mattered. Paul, there in Philippians chapter 3, reflected with heaviness in his heart of such people. He said this, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, crying, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Brothers and sisters, these were people that started well, but somewhere along in life, somewhere along in the race, somewhere along in the journey, they got distracted. They minded the wrong things. They lived according to their own wants and their own wishes and their own appetites. And I think all of us, every single one of us here, could perhaps think of brothers and sisters that once served the Lord. That once were serving Jesus Christ, they served alongside of us. They worshiped with us in our pews. They sat right on the bench beside us. But they no longer do. They fell away. Perhaps we can think of ministers, preachers, pastors, missionaries, once dedicated Christians, good church members, good brothers and sisters, who once had a close and a vibrant and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but they fell. They fell away because somehow, some way, they got distracted. Paul spoke of that man Demas with great regret as he wrote to Timothy. And he said, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." What a sad and what a sorrowful commentary on a life that started out with great promise. He started well, but he didn't finish well. He got distracted. Brothers and sisters, there are so many distractions in this life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 13, He spoke of one of the distractions that you and I face in life. He said, as He explained the parable of the sower in verse 22, "He also that received the seed among thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." The seed is sown, the seed takes root, the plants begin to grow up. There is at least the hope or the possibility or the expectation of fruitfulness. But then something happens. Thorns begin to grow up. These cares of this world, what Jesus is talking about, what He says that they are like here. And the cares of this life, the cares of this world, they choke it out. That's what happened to the writer of Ecclesiastes. He got so tied up in the things of this life and in the cares of this world that he neglected that which mattered most. Those things that are eternal. I was not raised in a Christian home. I wasn't raised among Anabaptist people. Once we began to associate with, fellowship with Anabaptists, Mennonites, Amish, one of the things that stood out to me was that they are often, I suppose there are exceptions, but they are often hard workers, dedicated workers, generally speaking, honest. They have a good reputation, a strong work ethic. But you know that that work ethic, that strong work ethic can be a distraction. It sure can. It can be a distraction. They work too hard. They work too long of hours, and the things that are more important get neglected. Again, we're talking about dealing with distractions. And you know, it is in life. We get involved in so many different things. The pursuit of education, the pursuit of career, the pursuit of material things, the pursuit of reputation, the pursuit of hobbies, the pursuit of pleasure. And these things, all of them, can be a distraction. And we talked about, I believe it was Wednesday night, I read that verse where Paul was warning Timothy about getting entangled with the affairs of this life. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Again, entangled. Just like I was in that fishing line. Entangled, entrapped with all of these things that come eternity will be insignificant. I want to ask you tonight, what are those things for you? What are those things that have been distracting you? What are those things that have been causing you to lose sight of what really, really matters in life? Don't be distracted. And then there are trials. Many people get distracted in the midst of them. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, we read this. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That wherefore, in that first verse, is alluding to what was communicated in the previous chapter. Look there in chapter 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others, he says, had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, he says. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Trials, tests, persecutions, mockings, scourgings, imprisonment, martyrdom. He says,
They're in that next chapter. In those verses that we read, that because of these things, we are to lay aside every weight. Because of these things, we are to lay aside the sin. And we're to run. And we are to run with patience. But notice something else that he says there in verse number 2. He says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's saying, keep your eyes on Jesus. Trials are going to come. Difficulties are going to come. We're going to face storms. We're going to face obstacles in life. It's not if they happen, but when they're going to happen. Right? And he says, when these things happen, when these things come, to keep your eyes on Jesus. And the reality of it is, so many times, when that bad stuff happens, it could be financial difficulties, it could be sickness, it could be disease, it could be when everything around us seems to be crashing and burning. And the tendency sometimes in ourselves and in our weakness is that we begin to look at the problems. We begin to look at the circumstances. We begin to look at everything that's not going well, everything that's going bad. We get distracted. He says in the midst, in the middle of those things, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. And then there are temptations. One definition of temptation is simply this. It is a thing or a course of action that attracts or tempts someone. It could be said that temptation by its very nature is a distraction. Temptation calls us not to do the things that God wants us to do. And it calls us to do the things that God doesn't want us to do. We could think about all these different temptations that we face. I mean, it could be immorality, pornography, it could be bitterness, it could be anger, it could be hatred. For some people, it could be rebellion. Again, it could be all sorts of different things. But these temptations that we face, they're put there by the enemy to distract us. Eve, back there in the garden, she got distracted. David, as he stood up there on that rooftop that day, he got distracted. In the Bible, we read of a man by the name of Samson. We read there that an angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife, and he said to her, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." God had a plan. And God had a purpose for Samson's life. But somewhere along the line, Samson got distracted. Solomon, the son of David, got distracted. I think of his wisdom, I think of his accomplishments, I think of his might and his strength, but somewhere along the line, he got distracted. Brothers and sisters, young people, don't let temptation distract you. Don't let the temptations of this life, the temptations that every single one of us face, don't let them get you off course. Keep your eyes upon the prize. We could go on.
But many are the distractions that come against you. And many are the distractions that come against me. And I know they're different for all of us. They're diverse in their nature and in their intensity. But I want to ask you tonight, brother. And I want to ask you tonight, sister. I want you to consider this question. Have you been distracted? Have you been distracted? I want to close with a story. Yogi Berra. How many of you have heard of Yogi Berra? Okay. Great player, catcher for the New York Yankees, Hall of Famer. He was a man, you know, in sports, they have this that they, you know, they kind of talk tough to each other. They call it trash talk, right? Hey, we're going to take you down, you know, that kind of stuff. That really wasn't much, was it? They're laughing at me. Yeah, we're going to take you down. He liked to talk trash. And he would talk to his teammates to motivate them. He would talk to the opposing players that he was playing against to distract them, you know, kind of to get them off their game, trying to get them to lose focus as they were getting ready to swing and hit that pitch. Well, there was a World Series game when another well-known player, a great player, by the name of Hank Aaron, stepped up to the plate to bat. And so Yogi Berra, he tried some of his usual techniques, his trash talk, the tough trash talk. We're going to take you down. That's about as tough a trash talk you get from a Mennonite preacher. And so he said some of his usual things. Henry, Hank, you're holding the bat wrong. You're not holding the bat right. You're supposed to hold it so you can read the trademark. And Hank Aaron didn't pay him any attention at all. The next pitch came. Hank Aaron, being the home run hitter that he was, swung his bat, hit that ball right out of the park. Home run. He rounded the bases, and he touched home plate, and he did something that stood out to me. He looked at Yogi Berra, and this is what he said. He said, I didn't come up here to read. I didn't come up here to read. You see, brothers, you see, sisters, in that moment of time, there was only one thing that mattered to Hank Aaron. And in reality, it doesn't matter if he would have struck out. It wouldn't have affected eternity. If he hit the home run, it wouldn't have affected eternity. But there was one thing in that moment, in that instant of time that mattered to him. Only one thing. And he was not going to allow himself to be distracted by anything. By anything. And when it comes to our life here on this earth, and when it comes to the life that comes after, brothers and sisters, we cannot afford to be distracted by anything. But it happens sometimes, doesn't it? It happens. It happens. But I want to ask you tonight, brothers, and I want to ask you tonight, sisters. I want to ask you tonight, young people. Have you been distracted? Have you lost focus on that one thing that really matters? Have other things become first in your life? Brothers and sisters, if that's the case, let us turn our eyes back to Jesus Christ. Let us turn our eyes back to that finish line, to that prize.
Lord God,
we come before you tonight. And we recognize, we realize that we are in a race. And at that finish line, there's a prize, eternal life in heaven with you. Blessings that we cannot even begin to imagine or comprehend. We're in a race. And Lord, we know that it is the enemy's desire, it is his plan, it is his purpose to distract us, to turn away our focus, to turn away our attention from you. And the distractions that he brings against us, they come in many different shapes, and they come in many different sizes. It could be the cares of this life, making a living, building a business, buying a house. Again, it could be so many different things. It could be being entangled with the affairs of this life. So entangled that we really can't serve you as you ought to be served. It could be temptations. And Lord, those temptations could be so many different things. But they're distractions. And Lord, I think of trials. Trials that all of us face. Sickness, disease, financial difficulties, conflict, broken relationships, so many different things. But Lord, if we're not careful, in the midst of those difficulties, it is so easy to take our eyes off of you and to focus on our problems. Distractions. And Lord, I don't want to be distracted. And God, my prayer for my brothers, my sisters that are here tonight, my desire, my hope for my brothers and my sisters that are here tonight is that our focus, our hearts, our eyes would be set upon you. But God, you know how easy it is for us as people. People that are on this earth, men and women and young people. God, you know how easy it is for us to get distracted. God, and I pray tonight, I pray right now, Lord, that your Spirit would speak to us of the distractions in our lives. Those things that we have allowed, those things that we have welcomed into our lives that have distracted us from our true purpose, from living. Your Word tells us that we were created for you and by you. We were created for your pleasure. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight of our distractions. And God, I pray that you would help us to repent. God, help us to confess that to You. God, help us to make things right. God, help us to allow You to redirect our focus and to rearrange our priorities on the things that matter to You and those things that will matter come eternity. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I'd like to close the service tonight with this invitation. How many of you are here tonight that would just have to say, you know what, I've been distracted in life. I've lost focus. I've misplaced some priorities. If God's speaking to you tonight, I just want you to stand right where you're at. If God's speaking to you, you know what? Again, I've got some distractions that I've allowed in my life, and you know what? I want that to change. Is God speaking to you tonight? Is God speaking to you? Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister. Thank you. God bless you. And I'd like to do it this way. If we could just have sisters gather around the sisters, brothers gather around the brothers, and let's just pray. God bless you for your openness, your honesty. Anybody else before we go to prayer? Anyone else? Just want to be open and honest with God. Thank you. God bless you. Let's all stand. And again, you know who's standing now. Gather around them and let's pray together. God, I just want to thank You for the openness, the honesty of these brothers, these sisters. God, they have acknowledged that in some way, in some shape, in some form, they have become distracted. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that You would redirect their focus. That You would redirect their gaze towards You. And God, I pray that You would give them victory over whatever it is. Again, it could be temptations. It could be with misplaced priorities. Again, focusing on hobbies and work and career and education or fun stuff. Whatever it is, it could be trials that at times seem like they're almost too much to bear. God, I pray that You would turn our eyes upon Jesus. That we would look full in Your marvelous face. And as that song says, that when we do that, that the things of this world will grow strangely dim. And so God, I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Your faithfulness in presenting God's Word to us in the challenge of our distractions in our life. There are many. And let's just close with that chorus that we sang, that song, very appropriate song, Austin, that you led. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. Let's just close with that chorus.